cross-linked reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Here to start out the second hour of the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. Got my buddy Grant Williams with me right now. Grant, as you know, writes a great newsletter. It's called Things That Make You Go, Hmm. Grant's been on our show probably for about 2 years now. The newsletter has gotten so big, and Grant has gotten to be so rich and famous that it's now being distributed by Malden Economics out of Texas. But, you know, I got to tell you, I met Grant in person about a year ago. He'd been on the show for about 6 months prior to that, and I'm here to say this guy's one of the brightest in the business. How you doing, my friend?
I'm very well after that introduction.
And you don't even have to send me a check because it's true. Hey, Grant, you're over in the Far East. You know, you spend most of your time there. You're based out of there anyway. You probably travel all over the world. But, a question that I have yet to ask anybody from your part of the world is, what is the perception of the reelection of President Obama? How do people in the Far East feel about that?
Well, it's a great question to ask right now with President Obama being in this part of the world, obviously, and he still has that kind of rock star feel in this part of the world, and as boisterous as his initial election was back in 2008, and all the hoopla that went with it, you guys have then had him as your president for 4 years, and the consequences of that, can be seen in the economy and the stagnation of the business environment, etc. Whereas over here, it was just as much hoopla over here, but then the people in Asia haven't had to be governed by his policies. So he's still something of a celebrity over here, and has been greeted. He was in Bangkok beginning of this week, and then Myanmar, which is, and that's a very pretty big deal, him being the first sitting U.S. president to visit Myanmar just as that country's opening up. The perception of him being re-elected here, it wasn't a huge shock, I don't think, to people in Asia. I think we all kind of expected that he would get re-elected, and certainly if he'd followed the betting rather than the polls, it was pretty clear that the election was going to go the way it did, right down to the Electoral College votes and the split in the House and the Senate. So it wasn't a real surprise. I was actually in the States on Election Day and spent the evening with some pretty staunch Republicans who were genuinely shocked that the election went the way it did. And I found that very interesting because the perception, as I say, from here in Asia was very much that was exactly what was going to happen. Obama was going to get back in with a pretty decent Electoral College majority, but a pretty close popular vote, and the House and the Senate would end up in Republican and Democrat hands, respectively. In this part of the world, the bloom is still very much on the rose as far as Obama's concerned. I suspect Mr. Bernanke would get a less enthusiastic reception were he to set foot in this part of the world.
Well, here's an interesting question. I was on Newsmax this past week, and one of the questions that fellow asked me was, what am I looking for in the conventional stock market in 2013? And he couched that by saying, we've got this fiscal cliff coming up. What do you think is going to happen there? And I said, well, realistically speaking, and I hopefully gave some fairly logical reasons for saying this, but realistically, nothing is going to happen right now, certainly in the short term. And I said, I think what you're going to see is you're going to see a little bit of backslapping, and you're going to see the press spin it in such a way, however it comes out, such a way that, everything is great and both sides of the aisle are, either one is, they're kind of working and this thing is eventually going to get worked out. And I think the bloom off that rose will happen very, very quickly. And my guess is probably sometime during the first quarter of 2013, I think you're going to see some real downward movement. I mean, I'm not talking 20%, 30%, 40%, but I think you're going to see some real trepidation among investors who are involved in that particular sector. You think I'm nuts?
No, look, I tend to agree. I think both sides realize that they have to get a deal done, and I think both sides will get a deal done as pertains to the fiscal cliff. But it's going to be more can kicking. I mean, they'll defer the debt ceiling debate until February. And The only thing that worries me is that because they both know they need to compromise to get this deal done, I think they realize the significance of not getting it done. They will. The only leverage they really have is to kind of grandstand and drag this thing out and try and be the party that looks like they're making the grand concession. And they may just misjudge that, and they may let this thing drag on too long. And the smart thing to do would be to come to a compromise very quickly, even though it would mean a lot of can kicking and pushing things into next year, you know, extending tax cuts for 6 months or whatever the compromise may be. But get it done now, and let them get back to worrying about earnings and growth instead of what these guys are going to do with the fiscal cliff. But everything I've seen so far, and the fact that we've just come off a very, very bitterly contested election, and the fact that the two parties bear a great deal of animosity towards each other, it tells me that no matter what they say, and certainly Boehner and Obama have both been kind of playing nice in the sandpit.
So yes, they have, yeah.
We're going to get this thing done. I think that's all very well to say, but once you sit down with an opposition that you really, really fundamentally don't like,
mm-hmm.
And you realize just how far apart you really are and what you want to get done, I suspect there could be some fireworks. So they will come to a compromise, because if they don't, they're even more foolish than I give them credit for, and that would really be quite a shock to me. But I suspect the compromise they come to will be a short-term kick-the-can fix that just brings this whole thing back to a head in 6 months' time.
Yeah, no, I would have to agree with that. What's the effect right now? What's happening in, let's say, in the mainland Chinese economy right now? It's, you know, people were talking about, there was a rumor over here, you know, kind of in the trenches that, well, the Chinese are kind of getting in trouble and things, you know, it's not as good as it used to be. I personally don't believe that's the case. What do you think?
Well, the problem is, you know, for China to not be as good as it used to be, I mean, they were growing double digits every year.
Mm-hmm.
So in a world where everyone else is growing at zero, you know, for China to be growing 6-7% is still pretty impressive. But it's not enough. You know, China needs to grow faster than that. And we've just had this big handover in power, so the new leaders have been chosen for the next 10 years. And
mm-hmm.
It's always a pretty big deal in China, and this time more than many in recent memory. Simply because a lot of the stuff that's been going on around it, there's been all kinds of murders and poisonings and all kinds of stuff going around. It's finally got clarity on who the leaders are for the next 10 years. So focus is going to come back to China now that kind of mystery is cleared up. And I have to say, you know, the initial opinions, if you look at what the stock market's done, have not been good. I mean, the stock market, the Shanghai Composite touched its lows again last week before it mysteriously bounced off those lows and rallied pretty hard into the close. But if you look at the chart of the Shanghai market, it's bumping around 5-year lows, showing no signs of getting off the canvas. And that's a little worrying to me. I think China clearly is slowing down. The extent to which it's slowing down is unknown, because it's such an opaque economy, and it's very difficult to get a real sense of what's going on. And people who spend time in China, you know, even guys who are on the ground in the same country, have wildly differing opinions as to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There are two distinct camps. Some, those that say it's a disaster waiting to happen, and those that say they're going to be fine, don't worry about it. And it's really, really difficult right now to get a sense of what the truth is. But if you follow the markets, the markets are certainly not buoyant right now, and that causes me a little bit of concern for sure.
Well, I think it would cause everybody just more than just a little bit of concern. And, you know, to clarify one comment that I made, when I said that the Chinese economy doesn't seem to be as much on the ropes as some people would say, I was obviously referring to that 6 or 7% growth rate that you referred to, because that's certainly not the norm in other parts of the world. It's not the norm in my country. There's no question about that. But, you know, the really, really interesting question when you start talking about China and, you know, when you throw in Japan and the rest of it, is if in fact there was a serious drawdown in the economy, that I think would almost guarantee an economic situation the likes of which worldwide we have never seen. And that's something that I want to pursue that discussion with you here in the next segment. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. Big Al's going to be right back with Grant Williams. We're going to get Grant's perception on the future of the European economies. Stick around.
Oh. Oh, my aching back. I've got to get some relief for my arthritis.
When arthritis pain rears its ugly head, rub on Smooth Gaiter, the 60-second pain relief. Smooth Gaiter provides topical relief from head to toe and everywhere in between to stop pain fast. Smooth Gaiter is made with all natural oils, including wintergreen, aloe vera, and eucalyptus in a safe, non-greasy formula. Rub Smooth Gaiter on your neck, back, legs, knees, hands, any muscle or joint where pain from arthritis, sprains, strains, or backache needs fast 60-second pain relief. Smooth Gaiter can also be used for allergies, sinuses, fibromyalgia, and rheumatoid arthritis. In the time it took to listen to this message, you could have had relief with Smooth Gaiter, the 60-second pain relief. Go to smoothgator.com or phone 727-278-3137. Call 727-278-3137 or click smoothgator.com, the 60-second pain relief.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. November 21st, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1,726.80. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,769.50, $884.75 for a half ounce, or $442.37 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,769.50, $884.75, and $442.37.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. As promised, got Grant Williams with me. Grant, you're saying that you've got some trepidation, for lack of better terms, about some questions, I think is a better way to put it, about what's going on right now in the Chinese economy. Let's flip over to Europe. You know, it doesn't seem to be getting any better over there.
No, it's not, Al. I mean, look, this thing is descending into high fast now, frankly. I mean, I'm truly amazed that they've managed to keep this thing together as long as they have. You know, this latest Greek deal, we're talking now about Greece being shut out of bond markets until 2030. Now, these guys are predicting what they think the debt-to-GDP ratios are going to be out almost 20 years, which is completely ridiculous.
Yeah, of course.
They have no idea what they're going to be. They've been wrong about the next year, every year for the last 5 years. How they think they can predict it out 20 years is beyond me. But, you know, we're in this ridiculous situation where everybody, including Germany, is trying desperately to find a way to get this money to Greece, no matter how they have to go about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it for a second, and if you look at the dynamics of Greek debt and the dynamics of the economy, and the fact that they're saying there's no way they're going to accept any public sector haircuts, which, you know, from a political perspective would be completely unpalatable for them. If you simply ask yourself, on the basis that, based on the numbers, there is literally no possible way for Greece to pay this money back.
Mm-hmm.
Physically cannot do it. So you have to ask yourself the question, you know, who would lend money to someone when they absolutely know for certain that money will never be paid back? And the answer is nobody, right? I mean, they're just not going to do that. So the only reason that they could possibly be trying to do this is because, well, there's two reasons. One is it's purely a political statement. They're desperately trying to keep this grand project of theirs together. And the other one, which is far more worrying prospect for me, is that they realize that the consequences of not lending this money to Greece, in terms of the fallout should Greece leave, and the damage it will do to the stronger European balance sheets, is just completely unpalatable for them. So they're completely backed into the corner. They're desperately hoping things get better on their own, and while they keep fudging and keep kicking the can down the road, it's not going to happen. And so at some point, things are going to get taken out of their hands. And the only real surprise, I guess, at the moment, is that the market is kind of giving them the leeway to carry on doing this. That's not going to last forever, mark my words. At some point, the market is going to revolt, and these guys are not going to be able to borrow money. They're not going to be able to borrow money at stupidly low levels of interest. And the day that happens, this whole thing is going to come crashing down to earth.
Well, let's put it all together now. We know what's going on in the United States right now. Okay, we discussed that a little bit in the prior segment. It's a tough situation. I mean, yes, the administration can point to the fact that if you juggle the numbers correctly, the unemployment rate has gotten a little better than it was, let's say, a couple of years ago. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at all of the indicators in our country right now, it's pretty tough. And the challenges right around the corner are more than pretty tough. They're very, very tough, okay? Couple that with the situation in China that we briefly discussed in the prior segment, and now with what's going on in Europe, I mean, what are the odds, in your opinion, Grant, of a major international, people won't talk about this very much, but a major worldwide depression? I don't think it's out of the question.
Look, it's impossible to put a number on something like that, but the one thing I can say with absolute certainty is there's a lot bigger chance of it happening than people believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's for certain. I mean, you know, there is no real demand anywhere. The exporting nations of Asia, their biggest markets are Europe and the U.S. You know, Europe is in a recession across the entire continent, and the U.S. is, if not in a recession yet, I mean, we might find that come the fiscal cliff, it is in a recession. So, you know, the exporting nations of Asia don't have their big markets in front of them. It's the same for China. You know, Japan's desperately trying to get out of this two-decade-long spiral, and they're struggling to do it because what they're trying to do is depreciate the yen and export their way out of trouble. But again, you know, their end markets are all disappearing. And so, you know, whenever you try and devalue your currency to try and grow through exporting, it's a good thing to be able to do. I mean, they don't have that luxury in Europe. But when you're doing it competitively against everybody else,
mm-hmm.
you all just keep spiraling down together. There's no way out of this.
Yeah.
So, you know, people hear talk of depression and they listen to the politicians who say we averted a depression. Well, yeah, you have for now, but you need to be real careful now that you don't make policy decisions that will ultimately end up causing another depression. I mean, look, Greece is already in depression. Let's face it, Spain's not far behind.
Mm-hmm.
But depression is a word that people don't like to bandy around at dinner parties because it conjures up
images. No, they definitely don't. You know, you made a comment, though, about the U.S. not being in a recession right now. And, you know, you and I are both bright enough, and we know enough about statistics, and we know enough about numbers that it's you can paint almost any picture you want, and, you know, and be accurate within the confines of your argument, which is something a lot of people don't realize. But, you know, the situation in the United States is a lot worse than people think. I mean, it's across the board. Real estate values, for example. Now, I know that this doesn't hold true every place in the United States, not even close, but across the board, the area that we live in, and we're not exactly in a depressed area, you can buy almost anything you want for 50 cents on the dollar. Big five-star resort down at the end of the peninsula that we live on just went out of business. Laid off, what, 225, 250 people or something like that. You know, you have the situation here earlier with the Hostess company that you got 18,000 people who are out of work now because of that. In the headlines in the paper, probably a couple weeks ago, the local paper, they were talking about the Boeing airplane company cutting back a certain amount. I mean, I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. And yes, we may not officially be in a recession, but damn, I got to tell you, it's pretty scary.
Yeah, the statistics are always out there, and if you're the man in the street, you go on your gut, you don't go on the statistics. I mean, the numbers might be telling you you're not in a recession. But if you feel like you're in a recession, you're going to act accordingly, and you're going to pull your horns in, and you're going to rein in your spending, and you're trying to save more money.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeds down, and that can be a self-fulfilling prophecy if people start doing that. You know, pretty soon, the economy does slow down, and it tips into a recession by the numbers. And it certainly feels to me, you know, I haven't traveled through the States for the last 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
but it certainly feels to me what's going on. You know, the numbers may not say we're in a recession, but people kind of feel if they're not, they're heading that way, and they're battening down the hatches, and that's really not what the U.S. needs. That's why all the politicians are desperately trying to engender some confidence in people so they go out and start spending money.
Well, you know, when you really can't blame them, because the only thing, in my opinion, you know, and I started to realize this back in the mid 90s, you know, during the tech bubble, which basically blew up rather smartly. But you know, the only thing that is keeping our economy, and I think largely many of the economies going around the world right now, is the psychology. People realize deep down inside, most people realize, you know what, if we quit, if we stop spending, if we really, really quit, for lack of better terms, and really just simply, you know, hide in the basement and take care of ourselves, then the worst is going to happen. So there has to be a compromise somewhere between that, which I think is about as insane as continuing to print money, which I think is also totally insane. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you, over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TERAGANIX.com. Toll free, 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ally C. Why Ally C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ally C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ally C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ally C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ally C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ally C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ally C. For more information and to order Ally C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ally C today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
Chatting right now with Sean Pauler. Sean is involved with a company that I am an investor in. It's a company called West Haven Ventures. I announced probably, two or three or 4 weeks ago that I was going to go ahead and purchase stock in the company, and in fact, I did. I got my check, and we're all off to the races. Did you get a new car yet?
Not yet, no, just a ski chalet.
Just a ski chalet. Well, there you go. Back on October 9th, Sean, you guys announced the non-broker private placement that I actually took part of, and then shortly thereafter, 4 days later, once the private placement had closed, you announced that you had commenced drilling on the Shovel Nose project. I am intrigued with the company for a variety of reasons, not the least of which are the players. But I'm also very, very curious as to what you're going to be doing now that you've got the private placement taken care of, for lack of better terms. I want to start out, if you don't mind, and I want to talk a little bit about your management, et cetera. Your president and CEO, Glenn Thomas, he's a professional engineer, very, very well-known guy. He was the president and director of Toronto-based Aber Resources Limited. I know I've heard all kinds of positive things about Glenn. Vic Tanaka, I know personally. He's a professional geologist. I've known Vic for probably 25 years. Let's talk a little bit about the team, including some of the advisory folks you got involved with you.
Sure, happy to. Well, as you pointed out, Gren's the captain of the ship, so to speak. He's president, CEO. He's approximately 50 years in the business, and he's Canadian Mining Hall of Fame. He won the Prospectors Year of the Award, Award of the Year back in 1999, and that was for the Diavik discovery, which what is now Harry Winston, but originally was an Aber. He's also credited with the Thor Lake Rarest deposit, which is in Avalon Resources at the moment. And Victanaka also, another 45-50-year-plus experienced geologist. Vic and Gren are very much the gray hair, the experience within the company here. Their names open a lot of doors, provide for a lot of deal flow as well. And myself and Gareth Thomas, mm-hmm. Gareth is Gren's son, grew up in the field. He is approximately 12, 13 plus years in logistics, exploration, etc. And myself, my background is corporate finance. And in between us here, we pretty much have done everything from exploration through to discovery, through to development, financing, promotions, etc. And right now, we're focused on the exploration of a project called Shovelnose, which you referenced earlier on November 13th. So about a week or so ago, actually last Tuesday, mm-hmm. we announced that we had the drill program for the Shovelnose project was underway. And the Shovelnose project, it's a gold exploration target. We did a small program last year consisting of seven holes, all shallow, below 100 meters, and every single hole encountered gold mineralization. This year the plan is there's a structure trending northwest between two of the key zones. We'll be testing that structure with several holes. And, well, the program's underway. We expect it to wrap up shortly. And so for people looking at it, a potential exciting time to get involved, we expect assay results out probably 3+ weeks out now. So we're looking at epithermal-style gold mineralization here.
Now, this particular project is located about 18 miles south of the town of Merritt, so I'm assuming that, you know, in terms of accessibility, it's absolutely no problem, correct?
Absolutely. You know, I'm glad you touched upon that, because these days all you hear in the news is, you know, capital expenditure overruns, operating expenditure overruns. So infrastructure plays a critical role in keeping those costs down. You can be on a drill pad from Vancouver in three and a half hours. Mm-hmm. We have power running through the property. It's heavily logged. There's roads everywhere. Because also the area itself is has a lot of operators in it. We have access to expertise. Our drilling costs this year are a third of what it costs people to drill in places like Nevada or you know, the remote destinations are costing a quarter of that. So it's fantastic. We can get, you know, four times as much done for a quarter of the price.
I want to talk a little bit about the thing that really intrigued me, I guess I should say, initially about the company, and we've talked about this before, but if you look at the share structure, it is very, very interesting. Now, you folks, you and the insiders, basically control far and away the majority of the stock, correct?
Yes. Well, there's 15.3 million shares out as it stands. Post-financing, there'll be approximately 18.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Of the financing, we're raising approximately $500,000, of which management subscribed to approximately $165,000 of that.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, you know, we're maintaining our ownership level. We're putting our money where our mouths are. You know, we're not here to take salaries. We're here to make our money through capital appreciation. So to say we're aligned with investors would be an understatement.
It's interesting because I'm looking at the news release right now where you talked about that the private placement, and you didn't go out and raise a whack of money, so to speak. You just went out and raised enough money to get the job done. And I have to tell you, I think there's a certain amount of serious fiduciary responsibility there.
Well, someone once said, I forget who, that if you manage risk, you're managing dilution. And a lot of people go out there with the idea of, say, spending, you know, they'll raise $1 million with a view of drilling, you know, 2,000 meters regardless of what they're seeing. We'll aim at doing a minimum program, and if we like what we're seeing, we'll increase it.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
sure.
So we're very focused on maintaining a very tight share structure, minimizing risk, and, you know, we'll spend where we have to spend based on, you know, if we like what we're seeing.
So I'm real clear on this then. Basically, of the 18 million shares that will be out, okay, once all the cows come home, so to speak, you guys control 13.5 million of that, correct?
Well, pre-financing, there was 15.3 million shares out.
Mm-hmm.
We directly controlled 10.3 million, of which another 4 million was in the hands of people with the same last names of ours, such as mums, mm-hmm. friends, family, et cetera, people that, you know,
right.
won't sell until the stock hits $3, shouldn't mm-hmm. be that fortunate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, to me, that's a very, very interesting type of situation to be involved in. You know, I'm curious about one thing, Sean. You know, we talk about companies like West Haven. I invest in some. I have invested in yours. I want to interject, by the way, at this point that don't take this as investment advice, because it's not, and I'm also not even close to being arm's length in this situation, as I am a shareholder in the company. But, you know, I know why you and Gareth got involved in the business. It's an exciting business, you know, and you make a good team in terms of you being the business guy and Gareth kind of being the, oh, I use the word, and I use this a very sophisticated, for lack of better terms, field guy. But why did you guys decide to go into British Columbia, and why gold?
Great question. And if you told me 10 years ago that I'd have two projects in BC, I'd say you're probably having a laugh.
Right.
These days, British Columbia, not only does it have highly prospective geology, which is evident from the fact that last year gross metal revenues in BC were over $10 billion,
mm-hmm.
so you have highly prospective geology. You don't have to worry about nationalization as you do in other countries. I mean, every day it seems in other countries taking back assets or imposing some sort of profit windfall tax or royalty
mm-hmm.
scheme.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had to worry about that in BC. I don't think we're going to have to, even if the NDP government comes in. So not only do you have the highly prospective geology, the safety provided by the lack of probability of nationalization, but you also have excellent infrastructure. And I can't stress the importance of that enough. I mean, we're paying, it's 4 cents per kilowatt hour here for power. I mean, it's not like in Ghana or other places where you have to helicopter and diesel fuel to run the plants because you can't get consistent power.
Right.
On top of that, expertise is critical to both discovery as well as development. And just in our, let's say, local area, within a few hundred kilometers, you have some of the biggest mines, open pit mines on the planet. And as far as gold's concerned, I'm not sure if many people know this, but BC has, I think it's either 9 or 10 of the world's biggest, 50 biggest undeveloped gold deposits. I mean, you just take a look up north from us, you have the Brucejack, which is 30 million tons grading, I think it's 18 grams per ton. I mean, it's a phenomenal place to operate for several different reasons.
Well, it is. At one time, you know, as luck would have it, it was a little tougher, and I was around when that was going on, but that certainly is not the case today. The provincial government of British Columbia realizes the importance of the mining industry to the folks who live in British Columbia, and I got to tell you, I can't see them doing anything whatsoever to jeopardize that. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. Big Al's going to be right back with Jeff Deist to wrap up the show.
Hi, my name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes, which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione. But due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We just had a terrible storm in the east, but we are all still in the eye of the perfect storm. We have the most devastating economic conditions since the Great Depression, America's worst drought in agricultural history, and what about the presidential election? This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. eFoods Direct is preparing for the shortages, and you had better do the same. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. You know that eFoods is the best tasting and safest food on the planet. We all need a bunch of storable and usable food from eFoods Direct. None of us wants to be standing in a bread line trading our freedom for food. Anyone who doesn't take control of their uncertain future has to be just a little bit nuts. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Starting Thursday, November 22nd at midnight through Monday, November 26th, you can save 25 to 30% on the Black Friday specials. Give the gift of food security. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or 1 day too late? Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
When natural disasters strike and the water supply is shut off, you won't panic because you have a CWR emergency water filter.
CWR Environmental has been supplying emergency water filters worldwide for over 25 years. The difference? CWR emergency water filters are portable, easy to set up, and exceptional at removing bacteria, parasites, sediment, and many harmful contaminants, including chlorine and harmful microorganisms. Plus, they are NSF certified to assure performance. CWR emergency water filters can produce thousands of gallons of safe drinking water from any water source and come with a 5-year warranty and money-back guarantee. For a limited time, the filters are specially priced with free shipping. Call now. 800-444-3563. That's 800-444-3563. Or go to CWRSurvival.com. That's CWRSurvival.com. CWR Emergency Water Filters. Drinking water you can trust for when you need it most. CWRSurvival.com.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report, got my buddy Jeff Dice stepping in.
Al, good to be with you. It's obviously a very interesting time for both the economy and the American political scene. I'm sure many of your listeners have been reading about the so-called fiscal cliff, and there's a lot of confusion out there about that. There's different sides of the aisle writing different things about it. But really, what is the fiscal cliff? It's really just a colloquial, almost a slang term, for a variety of different changes in the law that are going to go into effect in January unless Congress does something between now and then. And that's really the focus of this lame duck session that's going to be starting next week in the House of Representatives and then going on into December. And when I say it's a strange time, it's because we've got a lame duck Congress. They're not really representative of who is elected in the next cycle. We've got a second-term president, and we've got obviously a tremendously poor economy and a lot of unrest out there. So people are worried about this fiscal cliff. Maybe they don't completely understand it. But really, all you have to think about is it's a bunch of supposed spending cuts and supposed tax hikes that are going to go into effect in January. Now, when I say supposed spending cuts, that's simply because the sequestration bill that you may have heard of that was passed by Congress last year in a very unholy manner called for some cuts, supposedly, in defense spending and other non-discretionary items. But it's not really true. The cuts are only in the rate of growth in, for instance, defense spending and some other non-discretionary areas like agriculture and HUD and VA, etc. So it's really not a cut. There's nothing draconian about it. And there's nothing that the average American, certainly the average investor, should be worried about on that end. As a matter of fact, sequestration, as it's so-called, is preferable to anything else Congress might do between now and January 1, namely up the amount of spending that we plan for 2013. So don't believe the hype when it comes to sequestration in today's political environment. I would argue that it's about the best we're going to do, which is slowly curb the rate of spending next year. Now, if we segue to taxes that are going to go up in January, these are real concerns, but you might not understand the context. The context is this. About 10 years ago, when the Republicans controlled the U.S. House, they controlled the Senate, and George W. Bush was president, they passed what's been come to be known as the Bush tax cuts. Now, these were slight decreases, well, actually legitimate decreases in capital gains and dividend rates, and some decreases in just tax rates across the board, marginal rates, and then perhaps best of all were some real substantive cuts in the estate tax, which is a tremendously counterproductive, harmful tax that does no good. It raises hardly any revenue. It's really just a shibboleth of the left, which hates any kind of wealth transfer between generations. So it's a nonsensical tax. sooner we get rid of it, the better. But what the Republicans did, Al, 10 years ago, was they put 10-year sunsets into all of these tax law changes, which is an absurd way to do business. And the reason they did this was simply because the Congressional Budget Office, CBO, does a process that's called scoring, where they score the future effects of any tax cut bill on the budget. So to make the scoring numbers look better, they decided to sunset all these things. So here we are 10 years later, we're stuck with these changes. If we revert back to the old rates that were sort of before 2002, what we're going to have is we're going to have higher marginal rates for some folks. We're going to have much higher payroll taxes for people, especially who are self-employed people who pay both the employer and employee side of FICA and FUTA. We're going to see that those are no longer capped to about $106,000 of earned income as they are now. We're also going to see dividend rates go up, and that's obviously a terrible idea, a terrible drag on the economy. We've had so many companies out there, Al, for so long that had ridiculous P.E. ratios and, you know, didn't make any money, had ridiculous balance sheets, and it's time to get back to the day where companies paid dividends because they were cash flow positive, they were making profits. That's the old way of doing business, and that's what we need to get back to. So the last thing we ought to be doing is increasing the taxes on dividends, which, of course, the left views as some privilege of the right, but when in reality, you know, the little old lady who owns whatever in her mutual fund or in her pension fund really ought to be paying, you know, no tax on that dividend so we could spur investment. And then probably the worst change that would happen would be the estate tax. The amount of an estate that one has when they die, a much lower estate will be subject to the tax, and the rates will go up to as high as 55%, on some estates. So that's really a dreadful tax hike on small businesses, farms, et cetera, which are the majority payors of the estate tax. So, you know, it is a bit of a perfect storm. It's not everything that's cracked up to be in the media. Surely it's something to be concerned about if you're an investor, if you're a small business owner, or if you're just a person who's in a situation where they're paying too many taxes already. What does that mean for the average guy? You know, probably a few thousand more dollars a year. But when you take that in total, Al, it's going to make no difference whatsoever in the debt or in the deficit. We have approximately 2013 budget of about $3.8 trillion. Okay, folks, that's trillion with a T. Tax revenue from all sources, corporate income tax, individual income tax, excise taxes, estate taxes, payroll taxes, etc., has been stuck right around $2 trillion to $2.1 trillion for the last several years. And frankly, there's no amount of tinkering with the tax code that we can do that's going to dramatically increase or decrease that. If you raise taxes dramatically, you're going to kill the economy, and the amount of taxes coming in will actually be reduced. So basically, we're going to have a 1.5, a 1.8, a $2 trillion deficit annually for the next few years, folks. And that's just the reality no matter what you do with the tax code.
You know, it's funny, Jeff. I was on Newsmax earlier in the week, and the gentleman who was interviewing me said, do you think that the fiscal cliff is really going to be a major negative event, for lack of better terms? And my response, because I know you and I talked about this down in San Francisco this past week, but my response to him was, it's going to kick the can down the road farther at this point in time. The fiscal cliff is, in reality, it's defining a very, very dire situation, and it's much, much more important than people realize. But the solutions, as you brought out very effectively here, dealing with raising taxes, etc., are very definitely not even close to being what I would call effective solutions. Effective solutions basically are structural changes. Don't you agree?
Well, sure, they are structural changes, and we had a total U.S. federal government budget of about $2 to $2.2 trillion,
mm-hmm,
in the 2002-2003 time frame. All we would have to do to balance the budget tomorrow is go back to federal government spending levels of 10 years ago, and we still had plenty of government back then. In other words, we could be in balance tomorrow by just saying, look, the 2013 budget is going to be the 2003 budget. And then perhaps we could start to try to figure out, get a handle on the $16 trillion of debt we've already accumulated. And that's the real crisis, of course. That's the real fiscal cliff, is when the dollar starts to unravel.
Another question that I was asked on this particular interview had to do with, do I think this will be positive or negative? You know, what happens ultimately in December will be positive or negative for the conventional stock market? And my answer to that was, well, initially, if you see some kind of just what I would call nondescript compromise, everybody's going to feel warm and fuzzy and boom, the market may react positively. But long term, there is no way that this can go on.
That's true, and probably the number one impact on the market is just the current uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you hear time and time again from CEOs, from households, from organizations across the board, from foreign investors, is that they just don't know what's happening. And that's because of the paralysis of Congress, which, you know, in many ways is a good thing, but we've become so adroit at short-term solutions, Band-Aids, patches. And even the 10-year sunset on the tax cuts that I discussed earlier, that's an example of that. But it's become hyper-accelerated, and now everything in Congress is just, you know, 3 months or 6 months or 12 months. And, you know, we saw this when we raised the debt ceiling just less than a year ago now, and we're going to have to do that very shortly in the new year.
You know, the question that I keep asking myself is everything that we talk about, everything that we talk about on the show, everything that you and I talk about, it makes all the sense in the world, and nobody seems to understand the gravity of the situation.
Well, the real gravity of the situation, as I mentioned earlier, is the dollar and what's going to happen to it when we don't have anywhere near enough tax revenue to cover even entitlement spending. And when there's no one out there to buy any more U.S. Treasury debt, the Asian central banks aren't interested, individual and corporate and institutional investors aren't interested anymore. The only way you could drive any interest in another Treasury offering would be, you know, some enormous 18% interest rate. So that's really going to be interesting when we get to that point to see what government's going to do. And presumably, rather than expressly default, it's simply going to pay everybody back with highly inflated, worthless dollars.
Highly inflated, worthless dollars. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back with you next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.